This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about bouillabaisse.
Yes, so more fun with pronunciation.
French!
You know we all love it.
I
feel like every time we try to do a, what they call in the biz, a tentpole event, which today is Bastille Day. We always, for some reason, get delayed. And so we were recording this like day of.
Like this morning.
So we'll see if it comes out in time. But that just cracks me up. I feel like every time we actually try, for some reason, a delay.
Curse. That's fine. It's, you know, it's roundabout. It's within an acceptable margin
like
of
months.
Bastille Day.
Yes. Well, I don't think I've ever had bouillabaisse.
Oh, no?
I don't know. I feel like I... It's hard for me to believe I haven't. I feel like maybe I had the San Francisco kind of similar dish, which I can never remember how to say. The first I ever heard of it was in Harry Potter, so that must have been 2003.
Okay.
Apparently, it was also described in a Jane Austen book, and I haven't read Jane Austen, but I think it was described, but it wasn't given the name. But essentially, what was being described
was
bouillabaisse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't think I've had it.
I've definitely had Americanized versions that have had shellfish. Scandal.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting for your explanation of what it is.
It's lovely. I mean, like it's fish soup. I like fish. I like soup. I want all of those things. You know, so I will say that, seafood is definitely my favorite type of protein. And so if I see it on a menu, it is likely that that is what I am ordering. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I probably suffered from a lack of, from the name. Couldn't tell you what it was, so didn't bother to investigate further. Now that makes me really sad because I, too, love seafood and soup. So I'm sure I would probably love it.
Aww.
Maybe someday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So we definitely need to take a field trip to the south of France.
And yes. We can combine that with our much awaited champagne trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now let's just go to France for a few months. Let's just, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure the boss will check off on that with no questions asked. Or we just go, you know, don't ask for permission, apologize later, whatever that saying is.
I mean, hey, we've got these relatively portable microphone rigs. We can podcast from France.
That's true. No one has to know. Until the bill comes in, then there might be some questions.
Oh, yep.
Yes. Well, maybe we could plan it around December 14th, which is National Bouillabaisse Day, which kind of cracks me up because from what I understand, this is a U.S.-based holiday. Uh-huh. But, hey.
Sure.
Like bouillabaisse here, too. You can see our past episode on saffron and tomatoes, which sometimes come into play in this dish. Yes, but I guess that brings us to our question. Bouillabaisse. What is it?
Well, bouillabaisse is a sunny, summery, brothy soup or stew dish, rich with seafood and usually a little bit of potato, and bright and earthy with veg and herbs and spices like onion, tomato, fennel, saffron, orange zest, parsley, thyme, and bay. And the idea is to cook down a lovely broth with all of those aromatics, plus probably some fish bones or like prepared stock, plus some olive oil, then strain and or blend it, then add sliced potatoes and the seafood towards the end, just enough to cook it through. Depending on the recipe, the broth can be almost more like a sauce for the seafood, to be sopped up with bread instead of spooned or sipped. And the olive oil is an interesting ingredient because it emulsifies and makes the soup creamy without adding the weight of dairy. So the seafood that goes into it is traditionally like a firm white fish. The dish originated in, or perhaps has been adopted by, Marseille, a port city in southern France. And what they traditionally say needs to go in to bouillabaisse is at least 4 of 6 types of fish, including local things like monkfish and conger eel, but probably definitely red scorpion fish. That's critical. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a type of rockfish. I have no experience with it. But yeah, folks add all kinds of things, you know, similar types of fish from local catches, you know, whatever your local species of rockfish, or maybe a red snapper or halibut or grouper, but also lobster, crab, clams, mussels, scallops, shrimp.
Uh-oh.
I am getting more controversial the further down that list I go.
I can hear it in your voice.
I've got my hands up in the defensive gesture again. I'm like, I'm only reporting. I'm only reporting what I read, okay?
Yes.
Not recommending, only reporting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like many like comforting regional dishes, there are disagreements about what makes a proper bouillabaisse. Do you remove the veg entirely, or do you puree it into the broth? What seasonings go in the broth? Is wine and or Pernod or pastis appropriate or necessary to the broth? Does orange zest and or peel belong in there at all?
This sounds so deep and intense. The questions of bouillabaisse. I keep wanting to say bouillabaisse. Darn you, French. yeah, kind of the existential food questions.
Yeah.
That we have often on this show.
Yeah. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, these are questions you have to ask yourself. We
Indeed.
Cannot answer them for you.
No.
But in any case, it's usually served by scooping out some of that just cooked through seafood and laying it out on a tray or tureen and then ladling the broth over it. And then with lots of crusty toasted bread and as a garnish for both the bread and the broth, this thick, creamy type of sauce or spread called rouille. And Rui gets its name from its rusty red color, which comes from the saffron and ground chilies, or sometimes sweet peppers, that are used to make it. It's thickened with powdered breadcrumbs or potato starch, and can be made with either just emulsified olive oil or with oil plus egg yolks, like a mayonnaise. It's also seasoned with raw garlic, so it's got this really nice, warm, spicy, earthy kick to it. A simple aioli, which is mayo with garlic, can also be used. But yeah, sometimes bouillabaisse is served as a sort of like two-course meal, the first just the soup plus bread, and then the fish plus the soup.
Hmm. I've heard it can be kind of a whole thing.
A production.
As they sometimes say, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, I mean, you know, it's usually like, in Marseille, I've come to understand they will serve it by like, you know, cooking everything in the back and then coming and presenting you tableside with the fish, with like whole fish, just to prove what kinds of fish are going into it, and then either fillet it tableside or whisk the fish back into the kitchen and then present you with a platter. And yeah, the broth gets poured in. It's a whole thing. Sometimes you float the toasted bread on top of the broth. It seems great. It seems great. I did not have that fancy of an experience. Mine came in a bowl and I ate it. But that was also delightful. So,
how very basic, Lauren.
And there are all kinds of riffs on the dish as well, like especially in the tourist districts in Marseille. Like I've read about like fish fillet sandwiches that are served with a cup of broth on the side. Or like a three-course bouillabaisse experience with a course of raw shellfish and then bites of fish in a light broth and then a heavier soup with crabs.
Bouillabaisse experience.
Yeah.
It's a magic show I want to go to.
Oh, right? Yes.
I can picture it now. What about the nutrition?
Bouillabaisse is really pretty good for you. You know, lots of lean protein, lots of vitamins and minerals. I mean, you know, I'd say like don't use it as an excuse to eat like an entire loaf of bread, perhaps. or do, and that's a treat and that's nice. But yeah, yeah. It depends on how you make it. Watch your portion sizes. Eat a vegetable.
It is funny with these. I do that all the time with soups or any kind of thing where it's like you use some usually bread-like implement to eat it. I'm not a fast eater, but I like...
You can be a fast eater, my dude.
I can be. Generally, I'm not, but I can be. And so I need more bread to eat the soup.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so the next thing I know, yeah, a whole loaf of bread has been used. Yeah. Usually there's still some soup left.
Some soup left, yeah. Yeah, I have to pace my bread.
It's all about skill, really, and control, but skill. I don't want to eat any of bread without the soup.
No, that would be ridiculous.
That would be ridiculous.
But I do want a lot of bread with every bite.
Yes.
Only makes sense.
It's a balancing act. We do have some numbers for you.
We do.
So Marseille, where this dish, yes, allegedly hails from, and where it is arguably the most popular, has a population of about 1 million. And this matters because of some of the requirements around what makes bouillabaisse, which we'll get into. We've already gone over some of them, but there was another whole thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Especially in terms of fish, doesn't match up with the amount caught and the amount of bouillabaisse eaten there.
Yeah, I've read that it's not really a thing that locals would order in a restaurant, but because it is so well known in that area by tourists, like a single restaurant might go through 2 tons of fish a week during the tourist season in the summer. And it can get pricey depending on what types. It's a labor intensive dish to prepare. You know, you're making the soup and then you're adding all of these all of this lovely fresh seafood. So some of the fancy versions in Marseille restaurants can run you like $75 to like $250 for a meal.
Dang. I bet that's the experience.
Yeah, that one, that latter one is definitely on the experience side. Yes. Julia Child said of the dish in 1970 on her show, The French Chef, "I always feel that part of Marseille itself is cooked right into the bouillabaisse. You can somehow just taste the flavor, the color, the excitement of that old port."
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, should expect no less of Julia Child. But I do love that when you taste something and it just brings you right to a place.
Yes.
Yes. And we do have a lot to say about the history of that place.
We do. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, in its humble beginnings, bouillabaisse was simply boiled fish. How the story goes after that, very hotly debated.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Marseille, where the people claim it is, yes, an invention of theirs. Some say a fisherman used some of his catch to boil up a fish soup while at sea. Others say it was a dish of necessity, something to use up unsold fish. It was originally called bouillabaisse, or boil lower, in Provençal, which makes sense.
Yeah. And maybe. There are at least four origin stories for the name. A popular one is that it's a corruption of bouillir, to boil, and pays, fish, bouillabaisse. pays Bulla Base. I don't know, but it seems more likely that it comes from bouillon, a base, like broth reduced. Anyway,
the name for this dish first appeared in the French language about 200 years ago. And in the words of acclaimed food writer Clifford Wright, one of the earliest uses of the word bouillabaisse was in the 1830s as a term expressing the rapidity of the cooking. Stendhal mentioned bouillabaisses, perhaps referring to a fish stew, in his travels from 1806. But the famous French chef Raymond Olivier, writing in The Gastronomy of France, makes some extraordinary claims about bouillabaisse. He tells us that it is first mentioned in a dictionary from 1785, that its heritage is Phoenician via Greek Sicily, and that the rules for the making of bouillabaisse were laid down in the 16th century. None of this is supported by any evidence, but in any case, I agree with this estimation that in bouillabaisse, it is essential to retain all the delicacy of the fish and never to debase through too much zeal a symphony of taste, which is so hard to achieve.
A symphony of taste.
That's excellent.
Never debase through too much zeal a symphony of taste. It's so hard to achieve. Gosh.
It is. According to some sources, the ancestor of bouillabaisse goes all the way back to 600 BCE in ancient Greece, which Marseille was a Greek colony at the time. It may have also appeared in Roman mythology when Venus fed a similar soup to Vulcan in order to get him to fall asleep so she could go fool around with Mars. Many ancient writings described a boiled fish soup. Again, this is something that just makes sense to me for folks near water why not make that?
Yeah.
Again, people like to get very particular about the exact definition of bouillabaisse, which makes the history very fun. But there you go. Going back to that fisherman theory, they would put their catch in boiling water and then lower the temperature in order to poach it. This was described in an early Provençal poem by Escrémazy. Never put oil in bouillabaisse. Water nourishes the fish, but oil destroys it.
Wow.
But yeah, like you were saying, Lauren, people argue, as they like to do, that oil is key in making the broth, or that the lower in the name actually refers to the reduction of broth before adding in the fish to achieve a stronger flavor. An Italian recipe from the 15th century closely resembles bouillabaisse, apart from the oily fish use. So that's generally, from what I understand, a no-no. But this recipe used to use things like salmon and anchovies. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, some recipes labeled bouillabaisse in classical Provençal cuisine didn't use fish at all. There was one called blind bouillabaisse that incorporated eggs instead of the fish. Another that added spinach in there. I don't know.
Whoa! This feels like the kale gumbo debate, and I don't even know much about bouillabaisse. I feel like that would ruffle some feathers.
At any rate, by the late 1700s, bouillabaisse was being served in French restaurants, which were new at the time and had come out of the French Revolution, both putting chefs who had been working for the aristocracy out of jobs and also ending the guild system, which had kept the trade of cookery to like a select few. You can see our early episode on French cuisine for more about all of that.
Yes, and bouillabaisse changed as haute cuisine in France coalesced, with chefs adding in the fish after they prepared the soup. This also marked bouillabaisse becoming a food of the bourgeoisie, as opposed to kind of this widespread popular food it was prior, just something everyday people ate.
Mm-hmm. A recipe out of the 1830s called for both sea bass and spiny lobster, both of which were pricey at the time. So.
Mm-hmm. In 1873, Alexandre Dumas featured it in his work, Le Grand Dictionnaire de la Cuisine. Then chef Jean-Baptiste Raboul's recipe, first put into writing in his 1897 book, La Cuisinière Provençale, became the standard recipe until the 20th century. It called for boiling whole small rockfish, sieving them and straining them. Apparently, some restaurants live in fear of being sued after a customer chokes on a fishbone.
Oh.
Yeah, I I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, no, fair.
Yes. While this recipe was the go-to, the 1800s is also when folks started really experimenting with ingredients, or at least when the written record reflects that, adding in things like potatoes, celery, onions, and tomatoes.
That would have been roundabout when tomatoes were being more widely incorporated into French cuisine. I think that they had been used in southern France before other areas, but yeah.
Yes, I fondly remember our episode on tomatoes and how a lot of, especially rich people in Europe, were like, these are poisonous and might turn you into werewolves. So I had questions about that as well. But yeah. After the First World War, the guy behind popularizing France gastrotourism at the time, the Prince of Gastronomes, Kurnatsky, and I looked this fellow up because I was like, one name only, what's this about? And very interesting dude, but that was like his pen name, called bouillabaisse the soup of gold, for the color due to saffron and or the complex flavor, which is just a great nickname to have.
Yeah.
Both are good. Prince of Gastronomes and Soup of Gold. Top notch.
Good nicknames all around.
Mm-hmm. With the dawn of the 20th century, less than honorable restaurateurs in Marseille, looking to screw unwitting tourists, started serving cheap, low-quality versions of bouillabaisse. This, in turn, led to a lowering of opinion around the dish, which, yes, was associated with this area. It was a point of pride, and it was something tourists were coming to try. And then they're getting this lower-quality version, it's lowering the opinion. So this led to a group of restaurateurs in the area coming together in 1980 to preserve and boost this dish's reputation. They created a set of specifications for bouillabaisse, including the fish that should be used, dictating that it should be at least four. Mm-hmm. And they also suggested that the fish in question should be presented and filleted at the table so consumers knew what they were getting. I do find it interesting because that's like the same time gelato went through a similar thing. But yeah, I'm a very suspicious person, but I also don't really have a lot of know-how when it comes to these things.
Yeah, yeah, you could show me literally any fish and I would be like, cool, that's a fish. Great.
Yeah, the first time I ordered a bottle of wine at a fancy restaurant, they bought it out, they did the whole thing, and then they like uncorked it, and I just took the cork and smelled it and was like, is it the cheapest wine you have? And they were like, oh, they totally clocked me.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, yes, ma'am.
Then it's great. It's
relatively inexpensive, miss.
I'll take it. And it was delicious. But Julia Child raised awareness around bouillabaisse in America when she included a recipe for it in her 1968 work, The French Chef Cookbook. Before that, a lot of average Americans perhaps had not heard of it. And then here's this lovely, bright dish that Julia Child is very happy to share.
Extremely happy. Happy as only Julia could be. I love it. I love it when we do episodes where I wind up with a craving for a thing that I haven't ever really even experienced.
Yeah. Yep. Same. Feeling it. But I have an idea in my head.
Yeah.
And the idea tastes lovely. But hopefully we can rectify this, Lauren. I feel like we say that the end of every episode.
Yeah.
And it happens maybe 50%. Maybe.
Yeah, well, you know, as we start getting back into travel, maybe our rate will go up. We'll see what happens.
Boost those numbers.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I guess that's what we have to say about bouillabaisse for now.
It is. We do have some listener mail for you.
We do, but first we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair Mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. Bright and summery.
Yeah.
It's a musical. Stacey wrote, I am behind in my podcast listening, so I just heard the mac and cheese episode. I have to share some of my loves with this food. I live in Sacramento, and we have a great farmer's market. One vendor is a dairy from, Petaluma? I hope I didn't butcher that. Spring Hill Cheese. Look them up. I love mac and cheese with their smoked firehouse cheddar.
Ooh.
Divine. And to kick it up a notch, I also stir in some goat cheese. You kind of made fun of mac and cheese for breakfast, so I must defend it vigorously. I make breakfast mac, and it is wildly popular in our home. I chop up bacon and stir that into the mac and cheese, not firehouse. Anyway, then top it with an over-easy egg. When you cut into the egg, the yolk mixes with the cheese sauce to make it even more rich and magical. Then I've added breadcrumbs with garlic and, choose one, either garlic, red pepper flakes, thyme, or sage. It's truly delightful. I hope you can try it. Speaking of bacon, have you done a bacon episode? I've begun curing and smoking my own bacon. Game changer. We went through 40 pounds of pork belly at Christmas as we gave out 1.5 pound packs of homemade bacon as Christmas gifts.
Ooh.
Try stirring that into my breakfast mac and cheese and garlic breadcrumbs and an over easy egg.
Oh, wow.
Yes, please. Yes, please do all.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and okay. So I feel a little defensive, and so I want to say that the type of breakfast mac and cheese that we were making fun of was just like the cup of like Kraft mac and cheese being sold as a breakfast food.
Yes, I'm whatever you want your mac and cheese. I want you to have it then.
Yeah, yes. And I mean, and even the Kraft microwavable cup, do it. I approve.
It. Yeah. Add bacon or hot sauce or eggs.
Oh,
I love
so
it.
Oh, good. Yes. That sounds amazing.
It really does.
I've never cured or smoked anything. But that sounds
like such a lovely thing to do. We did do a bacon episode. We did a bacon episode. I just looked it up. I do not know this off the top of my head. In April of 2018.
Yes.
So you can see that.
That might be specifically the one we talk about breakfast, at least in part, because we did a breakfast episode, but we talked about kind of the marketing behind breakfast foods and that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, bacon, right, was one of the big ones that good old Eddie Bernays got into. So, yes. Yeah, we're on a first name basis, me and this bad guy.
I knew it.
JD wrote, I was listening to your Pimento Cheese episode when you mentioned your confusion about UF having Pepsi products on campus, and there's an interesting reason for it. Gatorade. I'm a fellow Gator, BA03 and MA15, and I grew up going to football games in Gainesville. Florida previously had Coca-Cola products on campus, but that changed while I was a student when Pepsi bought Quaker Oats in 2001. Quaker was the owner of Gatorade after purchasing Stokely Van Camp Incorporated in 1990. SVC had been the manufacturer of Gatorade since entering into an agreement with the University of Florida professor, Dr. Robert Cade, following the 1969 Orange Bowl. The university, which receives 20% royalties on Gatorade sales, obviously wants to keep ties to its most famous invention. Apparently, Coca-Cola was okay with this, even after they created a competing product, the vastly inferior Powerade. But once it was acquired by a direct competitor, I assume either Coke, Pepsi, or both had a problem with continuing the arrangement. I don't recall whether the change was immediate, but by my senior year, it had been completed.
Oh, I have so many things to say. I love when there's a topic where I like don't drink Coca-Cola, for instance, but I have strong opinions about it. I prefer Powerade. And also, I went to Georgia Tech and like I wasn't really into school spirit, but you were our enemies.
Oh, so my bad.
That's right, Lauren. I've just been waiting.
If it helps, I was not on the football team.
Doesn't.
No? Okay. All right. Well.
But I do find this really interesting. I did not know that 20% of royalties of Gatorade went to University of Florida. And like I said, Georgia Tech is in Atlanta, which is the Coca-Cola headquarters. So like restaurants that are owned or affiliated with Pepsi, like Taco Bell and Pizza Hut, which I think is still the same. But when I was there, this was the case. So like the only ones that sell Coca-Cola instead of Pepsi.
Yeah.
But that is interesting. And JD also suggested we do an episode on sports drinks, which we have been, I mean, years probably has been on the list. And we've been like, one day. It's another one of those topics where we're like, definitely one day.
Yeah. It's a lot in the, I mean, the science about it is so wibbly wobbly that I'm kind of like, oh, I don't feel like digging through that. Like Annie's gonna ask, and what about the nutrition? And I'm gonna be like,
that's fine. We want you to be your authentic self. And if your authentic self feels like screaming into the podcast void, then that's how it is. You can also just be like, Annie, I don't have time for your nonsensical questions today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the support.
Yes. Despite being my collegiate enemy, I will look past it.
Okay. That's very big of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you. I am a very big person. I appreciate you noticing.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. Well, thanks to both of those listeners for writing to us. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening. And we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.